listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I am pretty excited about this message this morning. I've entitled it, Knowing the Prince of Peace. Before I get too far today in this message, in your paper program, you were given some notes. And basically what those notes are a review, and I'm going to try to explain it, of where we were last Sunday. Also being handed out are notes on the new material that we're going to cover today. So how many have not yet received something different than what's in your program? Everybody's got notes? Good. We're going to move forward. So let me say about last week. Last week, I addressed the topic of peace. And here's what I said. If you remember, or if you were not here, let me give you a quick overview. I said that the Bible, remember this, we're Bible-based, okay? The Bible teaches us that salvation is free. Jesus paid for our salvation, but we must fight for our peace. How many remember me saying something to that effect? You've got to fight for your peace. When you receive Jesus into your life, he came to reside there. How many know he is the Prince of Peace? We're going to get into this a little deeper here this morning, but the fact is he gives us peace. Some of the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, come on, peace. So when we encounter Jesus, not only do we encounter love, but we encounter joy, and we encounter the peace of God. Now let me say, peace is more than the absence of conflict. Some of you are living in a world of chaos right now, and it's anything but peaceful. That may be where you are personally. I'm going to help you today. Hopefully, you'll take my advice and my directive. Our world is a crazy place. There's a lot of chaos going on in our world. But I want us to see that Jesus offers us a different kind of peace than what the world offers. The world primarily focuses on the absence of conflict. And it's like a dog chasing its tail. They're going in circles and not really getting anywhere. I want to say that the reason is because their focus is not on Jesus. Jesus is our prime base when it comes to peace. So turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 9. And I want to focus on one verse, number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Isaiah said it this way. For to us, might that be some of us here today? Come on. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In a couple weeks, I'm going to get to that phrase, the government being on his shoulder. But I can't go there today, all right? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and here's our phrase, Prince of peace. I want to explain this to you this morning, if I can. This verse is going to be read. It's going to be talked about by thousands at this time of the year. And there's so much packed into this one verse that we could be here for days, gaining from its every phrase. So I'm going to spare you some time and get right to the heart of the matter this morning. I'd like to look at the peace part today. This is something you can write down. It's not in your notes, but it's worth paying attention to you. When a royal child is born, he is not immediately king. Did you get that? When a royal child is born, he is not immediately king. Princehood leads to kingship. In a monarchy government, form of government, we see this easily fleshed out. How many know that Prince Charles was a prince before he became King Charles? And you so on and so forth. You see how that works. And I want to say, even as a baby, he is still a prince. And he's already a prince. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Of all the titles given to Jesus in this verse, Prince of Peace. We've got so many nice nativity pictures around here. We got one up there, beautiful. Got one right here. We can get a little sign placard, and we could place right over here, Prince of Peace, and it would be perfectly accurate. Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah 9, verse number 6, is the Prince of Peace. And it would have been perfectly appropriate for that little sign to be in the manger 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. When the angels announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds, their proclamation was, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." I want to say that one of the highlighted ultimate purposes of Jesus' role is to bring peace. That is to establish peace between us and a holy God. Our sin had put us in an adversarial relationship with God. I don't know how much you know about all this stuff, but God doesn't look at sin. He turns his back on sin. Sin is not part of God's DNA. We're comfortable with it because we live in it every day. Unfortunately, we've got to learn to deal with this. But Jesus came, as I said last week, to stamp his righteousness on our life and redeem us so that when the Father looks at us, he doesn't see us in our sinful state. He sees Jesus imputed to us, and he says, "You're acceptable because you bear the righteousness of my Son, Jesus." How many good for that? So Jesus comes to establish peace between us and God, between sinful man and holy God. And more than 700 years before Jesus was born on the planet, Isaiah gave a prophetic snapshot of God's plan to enter history. How? As a Prince of Peace. The New Testament reveals several significant ways that Jesus brings us peace in a world marked by human conflict. And I want you to become an expert this morning on the peace that Jesus delivers to us. I want you to live in that realm of peace. I don't only want you to keep it to yourself, but I want you to share it with people. Because all around you, you're going to find people flipped upside down. They really don't have an answer for where their life is taking them. Of course, the answer is Jesus, but how do you personalize that? And you're going to become an expert in conveying God's heart to people. Jesus himself described the peace that he would deliver as something quite different from anything that the world could offer. He said in John chapter 14, verse 27, here are the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus did not promise a peace the world would understand, but rather he promised his peace toward us. And I want you to understand that because the Prince of Peace came, and because he did come, we can experience forms of peace right now in our life. And this morning, I want to unpack three forms of peace that come from the heart of God to us, knowing the Prince of Peace. And I hope you would walk in full measure of peace in these three levels that I'm about to give you. I'm going to try to relate to you what these three forms of peace look like. Let's pray. We got to ask the Holy Spirit just to give the soil of our hearts preparation right now. Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would plow the hearts, plow the minds, plow our lives so that the hardened soil will be broken up to receive the seed of your word today. That as we take in your word, we'll walk out of this place changed by the power of the living God. We ask, amen. So here we go. The first form of peace is peace with God. And I want you to take your notes, and I want you to underline several times or circle the word with. Peace with God. I'm going to try to help you know what that looks like. I have to say, though, that this is a big deal. Peace with God. It's huge, church. If you get spiritual revelation of what peace with God looks like, you'll never exchange it for anything else that's out there. You'll never want to substitute peace with God for anything. I like my car, but I'm not married to my car. Someday it's going to cause me more trouble than it's worth, and I'll exchange my car for a different car. It may not be the same brand. I'm not married to a brand. But I'm here to tell you that you never want to get to a place where you will trade off your peace with God for something else. There's nothing of greater value to your life than peace with God. It has eternal consequences. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says this: therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Remember what justified means? It's just as if you've never sinned. Because you've been justified. By the way, who justifies us? Jesus does that. He did that 2,000 years ago on the cross. And when we now embrace him and believe in his provision, we are as if we had never sinned. What a wonderful status that is before God. You can't buy that with any kind of financial bankroll that you have. You can't buy your way into heaven. It's a free gift. Old salvation. And Jesus has provided that. But I want you to see what Romans 5 says. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're not at war with God. We are not in an adversarial relationship with God. Because we've been justified by faith, now we have a meaningful relationship with the living God. And how did that happen? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came as the Prince of Peace to bring us peace. Isaiah, who declared Jesus' title, that is, the Prince of Peace, also describes how he would establish peace between us and God. Hey, first of all, you've got to know that our sin put us at odds with God. I'm really working that hard this morning. I'm trying to get you to be convinced that your sin and my sin is not a good thing. Okay? That puts us at odds with God. Jesus came to fix that problem. His love changes that picture. It says in Isaiah 53, 5, this is how he does it. This is how he justifies us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us, come on church, brought us peace. And with his stripes, come on, we are healed. What a picture. What a picture of completion we have in the work of Jesus. That is our salvation, church. That's what we're talking about here. The Prince of Peace. It's no secret who he is. He's Jesus. The Prince of Peace made possible the absence of enmity between us and God. So we're not at war with God if we are in Christ. We are in fellowship with God because of Christ. And this did not happen without lots of sacrifice on God's part. I don't have a lot of time to get into all of that, but our sins, our transgressions, and our iniquities were forgiven. By the way, each of those carries a hidden meaning. They're not all the same thing. Iniquities are different than sin. Transgressions are different than iniquities. And there's a study in that whole area, because Jesus took these, our sin, our transgressions, and our iniquities upon himself on the cross. This is a big deal. We have peace with God. And this is all well and good, yet you need to make the choice to accept this provision. I keep on saying it's not automatic. Just because you live in the United States of America doesn't make you a Christian automatically. I deal with that in the community. And I do a lot of services, funeral services, for people outside this church. And what everybody wants me to say is this person is with God. Can't say that. Wish you could. Or they've kind of passed on to the great river of God, and they're fishing and catching their limits every day. Where does that stuff come from? Here's what I'm trying to say. You need to make a decision for Jesus, a conscious decision for him. If we embrace him by faith, we are forgiven. We receive the Savior as the Prince who establishes our peace with God. So, question, are you at peace with God this morning? Have you made your peace with God? Because you don't want to wake up one day after you pass away and find out, oh, I actually didn't do that. Alongside of peace with God, Jesus also delivers peace from God. So let's look at that. Peace with God, you've underlined that, you've circled it. Now we're looking at peace from God. Circle that, underline that. Is there a difference? Absolutely there is a difference. Otherwise they'd use the same word, right? Because we have a different word, we have a different meaning. Now we're going to look at peace from God. The peace from God is more like the Old Testament concept, shalom. How many are familiar that in the Jewish context, the word shalom is used readily? When we were in Israel, everybody used that word, shalom. So I started using that word, shalom. Had no idea what I was actually saying, but it sounded good. And it felt like I fit into the Jewish culture using that word, shalom. I've since learned that that word, shalom, has a greater meaning than hello. It's a word of completion. It includes not only a greeting of welcome, But it's an impartation of God's peace, God's favor, God's goodness. So when you greet somebody and you greet them by saying shalom, you're adding a whole lot more than, hi, how's your day going? You're imparting a spiritual value as you use this term. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7 declares, and by the way, I'm breaking this all down with scripture. So here we go. Look at this passage. When a man's ways please the Lord. Oh, well, I could talk to you for an hour on the man's ways. What's that look like? And how does that flesh out? But let me finish the verse. It says, when man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies. Anybody here got an enemy or two? That is, you're grinding with some people. A few people are honest this morning. I'm going to try to bridge this for you if I can. Are you bristled by certain people? Do certain people rub you the wrong way? Do certain people get under your skin, maybe, or irritate you, or bug you? Well, let me say it this way. You're a candidate for peace from God. Okay? Because saying peace from God is the complete form of shalom. How many here, in honesty, say, Pastor, I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate here for peace from God. Because I got people in my world that are upsetting me. If you don't own up to that right now, I'm going to prophesy over you. By Friday of this week, you're going to run into those people. Okay? Peace from God, a complete shalom, the state of well-being provided by the Prince of Peace. You see, the Lord longs to see us getting along peacefully with each other. Almost every one of Paul, the apostles' epistles start with that little phrase, peace from God. So I want you to see it's not only a greeting, but it's a state of well-being provided by the Prince of Peace. But the best peace Jesus came to offer us is the peace of God. So let's see that one. Peace with God, peace of God or from God, and peace of God. Each one of these three phrases are completely different. So if I ask you after the service, what does peace with God mean to you? You should be able to tell me. I know you're going to run away from me. You're not going to want to talk to me because you didn't want to pop quiz after the service. But I might track you down. Peace with God has to do with our relationship with God. Peace from God works in our life so much so that we are doing everything in our power to be at peace with one another. Talk about a homework assignment. Might happen. And now we want to talk about the peace of God. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the peace, come on church, of God rule in your heart. The peace of God ruling in our heart. What is the peace of God? Well, can I put it this way? It is the deep confidence that God is in control in your life. The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your life. We got it easy this weekend. There's a bunch of brothers and sisters in the state of Tennessee and Kentucky that are just flipped right now because a tornado ripped them apart. Church services are being canceled. A lot of turmoil with that disaster. I just bring up that disaster as one like illustration. But how many know you can be in a tornado and have the peace of God? That takes some doing. What if the roof was lifted off your house and everything in your house is in Pacific County? Would you have the peace of God? I don't want God to put the test to bear on my life. Can anybody align with me? I like it the way it is right now. I don't want God to test my knowledge or experience of his peace. But I'm going to do my very best to walk that out in the here and now. Okay? It's a deep confidence that God is in control and that it will all work out for his glory at the end of the day. And that is only, hear me, if we, big word, if we embrace the Prince of Peace and his ways in our lives. Of course, we do not know what's coming. But if God is for us, who can be against us? That's where the peace of God comes into play. That is the way Jesus, I'm here to send you a message this morning. That is the way Jesus wants you to live your life in this crazy world. How do you know that? How do you know what Jesus wants to say to me? Well, it's my job. It's part of my job description to know enough of God's word to impart to you the word of God and be sensitive to what he wants to say to you. And here's what he wants to say to you is that he wants you to live your life that demonstrates the peace of God. So that when the roof comes off your house in a tornado, and your neighbor's roof comes off their house in a tornado, you're not going to get all flustered because you lost your house. You're going to be more interested in, does my neighbor know Jesus? And God can use a tornado, an adverse situation, a flood, a natural disaster, to draw men and women into a peace with God. Because you have the peace of God working in you. Oh, how many want to scale this mountain? We can't predict the future, but we can trust that nothing can separate us from His love. So listen to me. This is very important. I want to wrap this up in these. You got to listen. Put your pen down. Then I'm going to let you write. Here's what I want you to know. Here's the progression, because I'm going to give it to you twice, but I want you to listen first. What begins as peace with God grows into peace from God between us and others, and then it matures into the peace of God within us. Did you figure that out? So here, I'm going to go really slow. This is what I want you to get. What begins as peace with God? Where did that start? Salvation. That's the launching pad, right? You came to peace with God because of what Jesus did for you. So you can't brag about that. Peace with God grows into peace from God, which translates into getting along with everybody. Homework assignment. Hate to break it to you. Number three, then it matures into the peace of God within us. We're unpacking the first advent of Jesus. Jesus, the Son born, the child given, the Prince of Peace, He makes all this happen. So, can I ask a quick question? You know I'm going to ask it anyhow. So, what difference is it making in your life that you know the Prince of Peace? Is it making a difference? Maybe you need to reset this morning Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in your life. You can make that happen right now. And when you do, you can live every day of your life in His peace. I know some of you are sitting there and you're saying, I didn't know that peace could get this complicated. It's not really complicated. We make it complicated. Right? And here's how it works. God in His ultimate wisdom, say wisdom. That means He knows more than us. Perish the thought. But He does. He really does. God knows more than us. So He saves us by His great love. He redeems us. He gives us peace on earth. Then He puts us in community. That's a church family. Full of imperfect people. And He says, get along. Get along with one another. That wasn't all. He talks to us about the peace of God. Which means adverse things can start happening in your life. Your refrigerator, your stove, your washing machine, your dryer, your microwave go down the same week. Anybody have something like that happen in various forms? Of course we do. Well, what we're doing there is we're going to tap into where does peace really come from. We're going to take a deep breath. And how many know this didn't take God by surprise? I mean, he knew this before the foundations of the world that that day would be coming. But it's in his wisdom to process you and me to be instruments of peace. He started all that, I don't know exactly when and what hour, but when Jesus was born, this thing got into motion. And how many know it's still in motion? And it'll be in motion till he comes again. We just got to cooperate with him. Buckle up our seatbelt. And say, Jesus, you are my pilot, not my co-pilot. How many know there's a difference between a co-pilot and a pilot? Co-pilot is the junior. Pilot is the senior. Most Christians today, or a lot of Christians today, want Jesus to be their co-pilot. They'll go wherever they want, do whatever they want, treat people however they want, do whatever they want to do. But somehow, bless me, Jesus. Make my life nice. Jesus doesn't want to be our co-pilot. He wants the steering wheel. He wants to be your pilot because he knows how to navigate this journey. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? And here's how it works. If I were to give an altar call and invite you to come for prayer, one of the first things that would cross your mind will, well, everybody know that I'm broken. Well, welcome to the club. We're all broken. I see it differently. I see it this way. I see it that you're honest enough to come and get help and prayer, to get your life established so that the peace, the Prince of Peace, can rule in your life. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now and just offer your being to him. Christmas 2023 could very well be a different year for you in how you approach everything you do. If the Prince of Peace is really the Prince of Peace, and by the way, he doesn't stay a prince, he becomes a king, and that's another subject for another day. Lord, we lift our hands to you right now, and we're inviting you, the Prince of Peace. And you came to be the Prince of Peace, to invade our lives. These three simple phrases that we looked at pack a lot of different meanings. And Lord, somehow we don't want to get high-centered on any of it to the point we can't progress, but we're asking, Lord Jesus, that what began as peace with God would grow into peace from God and would eventually become and mature into peace, the peace of God. Help us to embrace this morning, and let this week be a new kind of week that demonstrates what Advent was all about. And what Isaiah said when he comes, he will be the Prince of Peace. So make it work in our life, Lord. We're yielding to you and asking these things in your name. Amen. There's a lot of room up here for prayer. If you would like special prayer, I want you to just leave where you're at. The prayer team's going to be right here to pray with you, see you through some knotholes, okay? Some of you are going to go get your kids. I want you to pay attention, parents and grandparents, if you're responsible for kids, because we have a very heavy schedule in preparation for next Sunday, a big deal for us as our children share. But this moment is reserved for prayer, to stand alongside of you and give you an opportunity to experience God's love firsthand. So come, get prayer before you leave today. Go in the peace of God. Can I say shalom? God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.